Good evening and welcome to the Dr. Nyman Show podcast. Today is Monday, December 28th, 2020. For the latest on the SARS-CoV-2 pandemic, we now turn to Dr. Henry Nyman.
Thanks, Ryan. There's been a lot of activity on the variant front, so I'm pretty much going to talk about that today. The numbers of cases are still being distorted by the holidays. Actually, there were announcements made noting that the numbers this week are likely to be low because so many offices were closed for the holidays and testing is somewhat lower. So I probably won't really get a good measure on how bad things are until probably the first Tuesday in the new year. But in any event, variant front is very active as far as the sequences being released, and on that front there's probably even more that are covered in the media reports. The advantage of using the sequences is the characterization sheet frequently has more information than the media reports. A lot of times I have the age and gender. They've got the collection date, which is important. The media reports frequently don't have dates, especially if there's several cases or cases that weren't expected. But you can get that information off the characterization sheet that pretty much says where the originating lab was, which would give you information on approximately where the patient was by driving distance or wherever this lab is. And then there's a submitting lab, which sometimes is the same as the originating lab, but that's who actually puts the sequences on deposit. And then those sequences usually have the entire sequence, or is there over 30,000 letters in the sequence of SARS-CoV. Occasionally there are partial sequences directed at very informative regions of the genome. For instance, there was a series of isolates from the island of Malta that were released today, and it was just a partial sequence of the spike gene, but it encompassed the receptor binding domain in the areas just downstream from that, and there were like five non-synonymous mutations that are in the region that was covered in. The sequences had all five, and they had all five of the sequences, the mutations that were expected in that region of the spike protein, and it was clearly it was a variant that was being sequenced. And kind of breaking news, the sequence from British Columbia was just released minutes ago, maybe half an hour ago now, at GSAD for the case in British Columbia. And so the British Columbia CDC Public Health Laboratory actually collected the sample and released it. It was clearly the variant that is from the UK. The patient actually had returned from British Columbia, and so that was kind of expected as far as what it would look like. And it was typical. It had the same set of mutations in the spike gene. It had the same stop codon in NSP6, I should say. And there was nothing really very unusual. The lab did a good job. It's a complete sequence. It doesn't have any ambiguities in it. So it's a full sequence. Didn't have a lot of information on the collection date, but the original press release indicated that the patient took a flight on December 15th. So that's probably when it was collected because it developed he or she develops symptoms while in quarantine. And that would probably be where the sample was collected. And they did get it up. It's got this, this typical Q27 stop codon in the NS8 sequence, which truncates 78.5% of the sequence. So, just a tiny, a little over 20% of it is synthesized and pretty well inactivates that particular protein. And that's typical for the variant. And so that's the first sequence from North America. And there was a couple from the Toronto area that were identified right at about the same time. And subsequently, there's been another patient in Ottawa. And so there's quite a few sequences that have popped up from Canada. Of course, there aren't any from the U.S. yet. I would expect probably, this week or maybe not till next week, but within the next week or two, I think there'll be U.S. Cases that have essentially the same sequence. And today, there was a lot of activity. There was one big group, which was from Portugal, the island off the coast of Africa, had a lot of sequences. They initially released 19 sequences, and they added on another. So there's really 20 sequences from this island, and it's a little bit confusing because the sequences come with a collection date, and two of the sequences were pretty early. I mean, one was actually listed as being collected in November. It wasn't even late November; it was November 9th. And then a second one was collected December 7th. And then there was one that collected December 15th, and the rest were between December 17th and December 20th, which is kind of what would be expected for samples that were deposited today. And the sequences were pretty similar. There were a couple minor differences, it's a little hard to tell whether any of those earlier cases actually affected the later cases. Media reports had just said that there were several patients from the UK, who passengers from planes from the UK. They didn't give dates. They didn't give the number. And all of these sequences were released this morning. There's 20 of them, and they're all the variant from the UK. And the media reports did say, at least the ones they were reporting from, did say that they were coming from the UK. And they said they were the first cases. So unless the 11-9 is a typo, and it's supposed to be 12-9. The first case was very early in Portugal, and the reporting of it was very delayed. And so it's kind of two, and then a big wave of cases. And so that kind of filled up the map. Basically, I'm keeping a map on the sequences of both the variant that matches the cases in the UK, as well as the variants that match the cases in South Africa. And as I mentioned before, these sequences do have some things in common. They actually have the change at position 501, which is in the receptor binding domain, and that the N changes to Y And that's pretty much why the sequences in South Africa are called 501.V2. Some people thought that it was a sports car, but it's kind of the abbreviation for this. And the reason I use a 501 is that's the position and the receptor binding domain that is found in both the variants from South Africa as well as the variants from the UK. In addition to having that in common, they both have three deletions in the spike protein, but they're not exactly in the same place. They're kind of all in the amino portion of the molecule, but the one set is 69 and 70, which was seen in mink and in many samples in Europe, and then position 145. And then the other really has the positions 242 to 244. So they don't overlap, but they're really not that far away. And in addition, they have the mutation, the D614G, which is kind of what I used to define, or what I call that. It was the Italian strain that was originally seen in northern Italy back in February of almost a year ago now, 11 months ago. And that particular Italian strain has basically taken over the world. So virtually everything anywhere in the on this planet is isolated from a human has gotten D614G. The D position 614 has changed to a G, and that increases the ability to compete for sure. It took over there. There were some lame explanations when this was first appearing. I was shouting from the rooftops when it showed up in New York. It was very clear it was taking over in New York, and it, this was not the sequence that was in the initial cases in New York. And this was soon in 80-90% of the cases, and it ran up to close to 100%. And then the same thing happened in other areas where there was even more established sequences that were replaced by this Italian strain. And then there were some media reports that were citing scientists who I think were just giving you theoretical explanations. They, you know, clearly weren't looking at any real data as far as this sequence was concerned, and they talked about founder effects and founders saying, well, you know, the virus that gets there first kind of takes over, and it looks like it's spreading very efficiently because it doesn't have any competition. And that's not what happened with the D614G. And now, you know, the same scientists, you know, I don't think they know how wrong they were the first time, because they're saying the exact same thing about the variants. They say, oh, yeah, you have founder effects. It's lots of mutations. They happen all the time. That's what viruses do, blah, 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 which is you know, good for a university lecture giving the theory of evolution and viruses. Actually, they don't even talk about evolution because they don't mention selection. It does a lot of changes. And, you know, it's not really reality. The reality is that these changes give these viruses an advantage. That advantage they quickly take advantage of. And this particular virus, before it got all these other changes, the only non-synonymous change in the spike protein was changing the D to a G at position 614, and that was enough to literally take over the world. First it was the G clade, and then when another mutation came up, it was the GH clade. And another mutation was GR clade. So you had three different clades kind of co-circulating. And then they started picking up more mutations, and they started numbering them. And And so it gets too confusing if they start adding all these letters together. And so all of these variants, they're all the Italian strain. They all have D614G. Some labs have D614G plus one other change, and they call that a variant, which is a stretch. The ones that are circulating, you know, what I've been calling the UK variant or the South African or 501.V2 are both the Italian strain, and they both have the change of position 501, and they both have three deletions in the spike protein. But it's interesting. They have a few other changes that normally don't overlap, but now are starting to overlap. And the easiest way to explain those overlaps is simply recombination. So there's so much virus out there. And in some countries like the UK or Helsinki in Finland, they've got both variants co-circulating. They're in the same country, and you know, they're probably in the same place. And the sequences are suggesting they're in the same person, or you know, possibly animal, but the same host. And so some of these that are kind of indicative of the UK version are showing up in the South African version, and some that are normally in the South African version are showing up in the UK. And that's a bad indication. And then there's other things that are in common, which are they're kind of strange. I had posted this one change that normally the UK has another three deletions in the NSP18, and I'm sorry, the NSP16, and some of the more recent ones from the UK, from South Africa, they have the same deletion. So it's the same three amino acids that are deleted. And then recently there was a sequence that was released from Singapore, and it didn't have the three deleted amino acids. They were there. But it turns out two of the three were actually mutated. So they had changed. And I thought that was very unusual to see that. And at the time, that was the only example. But shortly thereafter, six other sequences in Italy that were all, I think they were all on the same plane. They all had the same collection date, and they all had this absence of the deletion in the gene. The amino acids were there, and they had the same two mutations that was in the Singapore strain. And that wasn't that unusual, because all of those sequences were the UK variant. But then those same two deletions showed up in the South African variant. And so the fact that, A, they both have the same three amino acids deleted is one thing, but then to actually have some examples where the three aren't there, but two of the three have a mutation, and they all have the same two, it's the same two, and they have the same mutation. And so that's more potential evidence that there is more examples of these two different variants getting together and exchanging genetic information. Basically, you start copying one and then you hop off and finish it off on the other one. And you can't do what you do in Clue, where you say it's a segmented genome and you're taking one segment and swapping it for another, which is called reassortment. The coronavirus is very long. It's 30,000 nucleotides long, but it's all one piece. So if you got part of it on from one parent, part from the other parent, that's an indication that that's recombination, because you don't have pieces that you can kind of shuffle. And so that is an indication that there's a lot of virus and a lot of dual infections, and that leads to rapid evolution. And that can have implications for how quickly the virus can escape from a vaccine, or how quickly the virus can escape from the immune response the first time. So people can get infected a second or third time, and they may be able to have that happen in a relatively short time period. And by the same token, they're called escape because they escape the immune response, and the immune response is no longer effective until a new immune response is mounted after you get reinfected. It raises concerns that the vaccine will have to be, you have to give boosters, kind of like with flu, like every year or so, because the virus changes that much. And the virus does a lot of recombinations and can change a lot, especially in situations like in the United States, where there's just way, way too many viruses, too many infections. And with the holiday travel that happened in Thanksgiving, followed by Christmas, followed by New Year's, that's a lot of mixing and matching. So there's a lot of opportunity for viruses from one part of the country can kind of meet up with viruses from the other part of the country and make a brand new virus. You got a little bit of each. And there's selection. If a lot of the population's been developed immunity, or a lot of the population's been vaccinated, well, then there'd be advantage if the virus can escape from those antibodies that are there from that infection or immunization. And then if they come up with a combination that escapes, that'll be selected for, because that'll give it a selective advantage over all the other viruses that are being impacted by the antibodies made by their configured cousins that had caused infections earlier. So the point is that there's now both of these variants that are showing up in some countries. And unfortunately, the only way you can tell whether you have these is to sequence. And the U.S. kind of slowed down on doing their sequencing. So the longer it goes without the U.S. finding it, the worse the screening is. It's not the higher the likelihood is that the viruses aren't here. The viruses are here. They're flying into all these other countries. When you take a look at the map, the recombinomics.co under sequences, and each of the new sequences has got a map update link. You can click on that link, it'll take you to the map. It's a Google map, it's interactive. You can zoom in, you can zoom out, you can go to any part of the world, you can see the entire world at the same time. You zoom in and click on the marker will give the name of the sequence. It'll say when it was isolated. It'll say whether this is a traveler. Some have to be updated with the traveler information. It wasn't all available initially. And the only thing that's on the map are ones that have already been sequenced. So they've already been sequenced. There's no doubt whether they are either the UK variant or whether they're the 501.V2 variant. They're actually even color-coded. The UK one's in blue, and 501.V2 from South Africa is in red. So you can take a quick look, or you can zoom in and get more details, and that links back to the website that's got even more detail there than it's on the map, but it's got a link to get to the description of the isolates. And it was a very busy day today. Just to give you an idea, it started out with, starting with today's day, the first ones were these 20 sequences from Portugal. So those took a little while to get all loaded up. And then came a sequence from Sweden. Then came three sequences from Finland. Then came three partial sequences from Malta. And then came three sequences from South Korea. And then there were a couple sequences from Norway. And then there was the sequence that came out tonight from Canada. And I've seen media reports that are kind of quoting government officials, and so those are likely to be accurate. There's media reports of a lot of variants that aren't in the database. There's three other ones in Canada alone. There's the two that are near Toronto and the one that's in Ottawa. And those sequences have not been deposited yet. There's talk of a sequence from, actually two sequences from Germany. One person that flew in to Frankfurt from London or something. And then another one that was selected in November in, it was, I'm trying to think of where it was from, but it was, it was definitely from Germany, and I don't know why that sequence isn't in GeneBank. I mean, Germany puts in a lot of sequences, but that one doesn't seem to be there yet, but that indicates that it was in Germany quite some time ago, and it's not really clear how that person got there. They didn't really give a whole lot of information other than the patient has subsequently died. They didn't say that. And there's been media reports of sequences in Iceland and in Brussels or Belgium, and there's a few more in the Middle East. I think there's Lebanon, and there's another country in the Middle East. I can't remember what it was, in Jordan or Syria or something. There already are sequences from Israel. There's, I think, four now from Israel. And then there's a media report that says Japan is going to get the South Korean version. Japan already has several from the UK. So Japan will be another country with lab-confirmed variants from both South Africa as well as the UK. So that'll be at least the third country. And it's not as much from South Africa, but as far as sequences are concerned, two came from labs in Switzerland. But the report indicates that one of the two really is actually from France. So that would indicate, you know, if that's accurate, which there's no reason to believe it isn't, that would indicate that the South African version, in addition to South Africa, where I think there's over 400 sequences that have been made public from South Africa, but there's two that are in England, according to reports, one of which the sequence has been deposited. There's two in Switzerland, according to how they're labeled and what lab they were in, but the report says one of those two is actually from France. And Then there's one in Helsinki, Finland, in addition to two other UK sequences. And now the media report says that there's a case that flew into the airport in Chiba near Tokyo. And there were other sequences that were also near Tokyo. There were different airport. A bunch of them came to the airport just south of Tokyo, and this one from South Africa came to the airport just north of Tokyo. And these reports are warnings, really, that, you know, if you're finding them now while you're looking, they were probably coming in yesterday when you weren't looking. And that's why these variants are reported to transmit more efficiently or quickly or higher viral loads or all of the above. And therefore, they have a higher R-naught that you know, one person can infect more. You know, I think on average, 1.5 people or so. And when it gets above one, then the number of cases go up because it's basically indicating that one person is infecting more than one other person on average. And that's a problem because it's been doing this for a while, and it's probably all over the world. As long as they got airports, they should have virus. And the map has got, I don't know if the latest count is, but I think the map has probably something like 70 or 80 sequences right now. And I don't even know what fraction that is, because a lot of countries haven't really been doing a lot of sequencing. And and then the ones that are doing a reasonable amount of sequencing are putting up sequences from June, July, August, September, October. Well, you're not likely to come up with anything until November at best. And most of the sequences that are there actually were deposited in not only deposited, but were collected from the patient in December. And in fact, most of them are from mid-December. So if countries aren't doing sequencing right now with samples that they've collected in the last week or two, then their chances of getting of a success go down. And, not all of them are doing a lot of sequences of cases right now. A lot of them are doing a lot of sequences, but they're sequences that they collected, put in the freezer, samples they collected, put in the freezer. And so now there's a lot of concern as to exactly what's out there. How are these viruses evolving? How many of each variant are there? Where are they? And where are the contacts of the people that provided the samples that were positive? And if it's a virus that can transmit easily and it's been coming in for a month or so, and nobody's really been paying a whole lot of attention, because there's a lot, like I say, you can't really tell that it's a variant unless you actually sequence it. You might say, oh, it seems kind of aggressive. It seems to be infecting a lot of people. But a lot of the coronaviruses can do that. And some of them are kind of, you know, variants in training. You know, they've got one or two changes. Now, they don't have 10 yet, but they've got a couple. And even one or two can make a difference. I mean, there's a few cases in the U.S. that have the 501. You know, they don't have much else. You know, they've all got D614G. But there's a few that actually do have N501Y. And they don't have a full set to look like the two variants that are on the map I've got and that are causing all the concern. And we'll see about the vaccines. To my knowledge, there's no data that should be made public to show how well the existing vaccine works against either of these variants. There is some evidence from these mutations in other viruses that they do somewhat escape from the immune response. And so there's a reasonably good chance that the vaccines are not going to be as effective against these as the wild type. And if the pharmaceutical companies are forthcoming and kind of give information on their tests that's published, and you can kind of see if the conclusions are somewhat skewed or they're supported by the data. And the real proof in the pudding will really come from how many cases actually get vaccinated and get infected anyway. And unfortunately, that's not going to be evident until a month and a half after the first injection. And at least in the U.S., that rollout of the injection seems to be going a little bit slow. That there's 10 million doses that have come into the U.S., and maybe 2 million are in the arms of cases. So that's coming a little bit slow, and I don't know, there's shortage of some materials. I talked about proteinase K. I think that's still in short supply. And so some effort really should go into taking the raw ingredients of the pharmaceuticals that have the machinery of the methodology and the experience to make the vaccines in bulk and get the ingredients that go into making the vaccines in bulk. And so the next 2 months are going to be major disasters in the U.S. The numbers are going to continue going up. The deaths really haven't been impacted that much from Thanksgiving yet. I mean, those cases are filling up the hospital beds, but they haven't died in large numbers yet. That'll happen in January. And then the cases that happen because of Christmas, that'll happen, and they'll start dying in late January or in February. Now, I mean, to actually see these, they take a little while. They don't get reported the day they die. That, they have to do verifications, et cetera. So there's a lag period even between the time the patient dies and the time it's reported by the state labs. And so these aren't going to be reported, the ones in Christmas holiday travel or get-togethers. Will probably be, show up in February, and the New Year's they'll probably lag by a week or so, but that's when the travel is. But there's still a lot of travel out there, and there's even more than a lot of virus out there, and that's not a good combination. And so January and February, when the holidays are over and the tally of how many are infected or how many are in the hospital. I mean, the virus doesn't care if you get tested or not. The numbers are lower because you don't test. You're still going to have more people going into the hospital. And you have more people going into the ICUs, and you have more people dying. And some of these states, like California, seems to be pretty dire right now. And everybody realizes that right now is not the peak. It's not like next week it'll be a lot better than it is now. Next week will be a lot worse than it is now. It'll be even worse. Number one, you won't even get accurate reporting until next year. And number two, the cases that are happening from Christmas to New Year's really aren't going to show up until January and February. And that'll be before the vaccines really make an impact. So that's where we stand. A lot of variants, some recombination already. Bad next 2 months. If you don't need to travel for the New Year, you probably shouldn't. It's real hard to travel in any safe manner, even with masks. If you go to the bathroom, the place, and you flush it, aerosolize the virus. And there's all kind of ways that you can get infected when you're traveling. Obviously you're going to get to a destination when you get to the destination, especially if there's significant numbers of people there. So that's it for now, but the numbers are going to keep going up. Tomorrow you probably get a semi-accurate reading on how many cases there are, but that'll only last for a couple of days. And the next year we'll start getting real numbers, and real numbers will be real bad numbers. And that's how things are shaping up. So that's it for tonight.
All right, thanks for that information. That's it for this edition. Keep tuned for more information as the situation unfolds. Thanks for listening.